ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 11, Chapter 21, entitled Enumeration of the Elements of Material Creation, Text Number 5. Naita Devam Yathathatvam Naita Devam Yathathatvam Yadaham Vachmi Tattatha यदहं वच्मि तत्तथा एवं विवदतां हेतुम् एवं विवदतां हेतुम् शक्त्यो मे दुरत्यया शक्त्यो मे दुरत्यया नैतदेवं यथत्ताहम् यदहं वच्मि तत्तथा एवं विवदतां हेतो शक्त्यो मे दुरत्यया नैतदेवं यथातत्त्वं यदहं वच्मि तत्तथा एवं विवदतां हेतो शक्त्यो मे दुरत्यया न इट इज नॉट एतत् दिस एवं सो यथा एज अथ से त्वं यू यत् Which aham I vachmi am saying tat that tatha thus evam in this way vivadatam for those who argue hetum over logical reasons shaktyah The energies are impelling. Me, my. Duratyaya, unsurpassable. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When philosophers argue, I don't choose to analyze this particular case in the same way that you have. It is simply my own insurmountable energies that are motivating their analytic disagreements. Translation, please repeat. When philosophers argue, I don't choose to analyze this particular case in the same way that you have. It is simply my own insurmountable energies that are motivating their analytic disagreements. Purport. Because of the material potencies of the Supreme Lord, mundane philosophers are perpetually arguing about which came first, the chicken or the egg. By the influence of the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, different philosophers are attracted to different views, and by the influence of the material atmosphere created by the Lord, these philosophers perpetually disagree with one another. The Supreme Lord Himself, however, has given the clear explanation. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.31, यच्छक्त्यो वदताम वादिनाम वै विवाद संवाद भुवो भवन्ति कुर्वन्ति चैषां मोहरात्ममोहं तस्मै नमो अनंत गुणाय भूमने. लेट मी ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अनटू द ऑल परवेडिंग सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हु पोजेसेस अनलिमिटेड ट्रांसेंडेंटल क्वालिटीज एक्टिंग फ्रॉम विद इन द कोर्स ऑफ द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल फिलोसोफर्स हु प्रोपोगेट वेरियस व्यूज. He caused them to forget their own souls, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. ओम अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपतांतिकं मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड टॉक्स अबाउट एलिमेंट्स ऑफ मटीरियल क्रिएशन एंड इन द लास्ट चैप्टर वी सॉ हाउ इट वॉज लाइक द एक्सप्लेनेशन ऑफ द वेदिक पाथ. सो इन दैट it was said that those who follow the Vedas in order to get many material, they have most people have many material desires, and in Vedas everything is given. It's path of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Kama means desire, material desire. If you want artha, economic development, if you want sense gratification, everything is given in Vedas. But people shouldn't do unregulated. If they follow the Vedas, then they are slowly elevated. So in the Vedas, many injunctions are given regarding whatever level people are, they can follow. For people in mode of ignorance, people in mode of passion, people in mode of goodness, there is something for every one of them. So out of so many instructions, it's like Lord says, first he says there are these instructions for these fruitive materialists. If they want these fruitive benedictions, so you follow these instructions. Then at some places he says, okay, reject them, and now you can follow these instructions and cultivate knowledge. And then further at some places then he says, okay, reject that and just surrender to me. You know? So all this is given. But at no place it's given that you reject the devotional service and go further, because there is nothing further than devotional service. So this is what Vedas talk about. And in last chapter we were seeing how different time, place, circumstance, different things that matter to get a positive and negative result. So ultimately Vedas bring the human being to the level of devotional service if we follow the Vedas nicely. Now in this particular chapter we have elements of material creation. So different elements, like what this material world is made of. So this is enumerated. Later on we'll see everything is described. It's listed as a big list, 24, 28 elements. Mind, senses, different senses, earth, water, fire, air, like that. Everything is described. So this is like a very in-depth study of the material realm. So there are many philosophers, and this is a process of jnana. You try to analyze the material realm. And it's also called Sankhya philosophy. So in Sankhya you are just enumerating these elements. And in Bhagavad Gita also, this is given. This is a nice verse. In third chapter, third verse, it says, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Lokesmin Vividad Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanaga Gyan Yogena Sankhya Yajnam Karma Yogena Yoginam. The Supreme God had said, O sinless Arjun, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. So there are two types of people, these jnanis and the bhaktas. They are trying to know the Supreme Lord. Of course, for the people following Karma Yoga also, there is some understanding of the Supreme Lord, that we do this worship to demigods and and ultimately Vishnu, and we get the results. And then in Jnana Yoga, they try to do this by this speculation, philosophical speculation. Oh, this is that, that is that, like that. And then the second, another class is people who do devotional service. So this chapter, we see these philosophical speculators are discussed. And today's verse also very nicely that how these philosophical speculators, they have disagreements, they have different views. When they have started analyzing these material elements, now still they have different views. So we saw like in first three verses it was described how there were 11 different views. They were counting, oh, there are 17 elements, 16 elements, 24 and so on. So many different views. And in today's verse, Lord tells that why this disagreement is there, like that. So basically what these philosophers are trying to do is they are trying to analyze. So basically analysis means, if you want to analyze something, means you have a problem, you break it down into various components. Like similarly this whole material realm is there, so you break it down. Okay, earth, water, fire, like that. So, and in analysis, what is the aim of this, why do you break it down? So there are three steps. One is to study each component separately. Okay, you study what is air, what is mind, like that. So they study separately. And then second is to see the interrelation, how these components are interrelated with each other. And third is how all these components are related to the whole, like that. So relation among themselves and the relation to the whole. So this is the whole analysis. This is the process of analysis that these philosophers are trying to do. And which is very, very good. If you are in the world, you should know what it's made of. That's why in Bhagavatam it's told in detail. So they are doing this analysis. And another thing, the second class of men who are trying to know Lord is are the devotees by devotional service. So these both processes are not in a sense not separate. They are interrelated. So as it is said, this religion or real devotional service and philosophy, it is said like the religion without philosophy is like a sentiment or fanaticism, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation, like that. So both are related, but one is an indirect way, other is a direct way. So while in philosophical speculation you are trying to analyze, okay, these are the components and how it's related to the whole. But devotional service starts from, okay, Krishna is the supreme whole, you surrender to him and worship him. Then everything is revealed. As in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janyatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yat Haitukam. So if one does devotional service to the Lord, his Jnana and Vairagya, renunciation and knowledge automatically follow. So separate endeavor is not required to do so much tedious analysis. If you just surrender, simple thing, surrender to the Lord, everything will be revealed, like that. It's a very simple process. One stop shop, you get everything, like that. So now we see how these philosophers are arguing, as it starts, when the philosophers argue, I don't choose to analyze this particular case in the same way as you have. So So the philosophers are endeavoring hard and they say, okay, this is my way and this is correct. And another one says, no, this mine is correct, like that. So they are arguing with each other, you know, like that. So, and 2 days back, Narasimha Kavach Prabhu was also telling the statement in Mahabharata that out of all these munis or mental speculators, it says, no, they all disagree with each other. It's like that. So they all disagree. Everyone has a different viewpoint, like that. And then in the purport it says, you know, they have been perpetually, from long time these philosophers, from long, long time actually, this statement, they are arguing about which came first, the chicken or the egg, like that. So from long time they were arguing, okay, which came first, you know, it's a very tricky question. You know, they cannot answer. And then it slowly they had other questions, and then they said, okay, how did this whole world came, like that. You know? But if we just surrender to the Lord and the pure devotees and this Bhagavatam, it reveals everything. So Ishvara Parma Krishna, Satchidananda Vigra, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karan Karna. So he is the cause of all causes, like that. So otherwise, if you want to know the cause and effect, it's very hard. Which came first, chicken or the egg, like that, you know. So it's very simple. We came from our parents. Our parents came from the grandparents. Like that, if you go, till a point where there is no further cause of that. And that's Krishna. Sarva Karan Karan. So he is the cause of all causes. So then if all these arguments are resolved, if you surrender to Krishna, then there is no problem. All chicken, eggs, everything comes from it. And also like Brahma Samhita, it says how from Mahavishnu is lying down, and of course this egg is chicken's egg, then this whole universe is also considered an egg. Brahmanda, you know, anda means egg. Brahmanda, this big egg. You know, this also comes from the pores of Mahavishnu. So he is the source of all these big Brahmandas, like that. So many universes are coming. Andantarastam, Parmanu, Chayantarastam. Then he is outside the egg. From him the egg is coming. Then he further enters the egg as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he is within the egg also. And then further he enters within all the atoms. You know, first from his lotus navel, there is a lotus sprouts, and then on top of that, Lord Brahma comes. He creates all the material elements, all the living entities, like that. And then within all the atoms, Lord further, then he enters as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So Lord is present outside this universe, within each atom. So there is no problem in understanding. Very simple. So if we approach these scriptures, like the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is entitled Creation. So you understand everything, how you don't have to speculate which came first. It clearly states what happened, how it happened, like that. So it's very easy to understand, like that. So this whole, we see this whole universe, as in the first verse it was says Vishvesha, like this whole universe is also a form of Lord. It's called the universal form. Chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita is also entitled the universal form. So this whole universe is like it's the body of Lord. So and the lower planets considered the feet of Lord, and further up middle planets come around the waist, and then higher planets like that. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described very nicely. So and actually it was very, very nicely it's described how when we take darshan of Lord, it is said it's good to see the feet first and then go up, like that. So similarly in Srimad Bhagavatam, when it's described about the universal form of Lord, it starts like that. It tells about the lower planets and it slowly goes up. Very beautifully described. So this universal form is also a form of Lord. So that's why anything related to Lord is good, and devotees are interested in whatever is related to Lord. So when we ask, okay, what all is related to Lord? So everything is related to Lord. So devotees are interested in everything. So material energy, spiritual energy, everything. So, but they don't think that as separate from Lord. So that's the thing. But some dry speculators, they try to analyze the material realm independent from the Lord. So that's the problem. That's why these disagreements are there. So this whole universal form of Lord, how it comes from the Lord, that's why devotees are interested. And in Bhagavatam in detail it's described about creation, about different planetary systems, how every sun, about sun, so many things. And then, and actually, and that's not easy to understand. Like these scientists, they are trying, like trying to go to moon, trying to go to Mars, and you know, so it's very hard. They can't do it. It's very hard. And what to speak of knowing the limits of the universe. It's a vast universe, although it's a very small, it's one of the smallest universes, but they can't they can't understand the limits of this universe. You know, it's very hard to know this whole universe. And it's said, like, even if they go at the speed of mind, it's very hard to know the whole universe and even the extent of law like that. So these spacecrafts and everything, they go so fast, these rockets, if you see, go so fast. But faster than them is the mind. You know, mind is, you know, you are sitting here, you think of India or wherever, USA, you are there within less than a second. So that's the speed of mind. No plane can take you so fast, you know. So in Brahma Samhita it is said, even if you go with the speed of mind, it's not possible to know the limits of the universe, which is one of the smallest universes. So this is the modern scientists, they cannot find the limits of universe by these dry speculative processes like that. But by surrendering to the Lord, it's very easy to understand the whole universe, other universes, spiritual realm, everything. It, very shortly, you know. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, how long it takes. If you dedicate, you just resign from job and whatever you are doing, read 10 hours a day, I don't know how long, a few months you will be able to finish. You know everything of the whole creation, whole spiritual realm, topmost planet of the spiritual realm, Golok Vrindavan, you know everything like that. But by years and years of dry speculation, you can't even know moon. You know, Prabhupada used to say, if they go to moon, then why do they come back? It's like a higher planetary system. So much, you know, if someone goes to moon, then he wouldn't like to come back here. You know, so it's very hard. And also, like, there's a nice pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto when Lord Sri Krishna went to Mathura. Now Kamsa invited him to have a wrestling match. He's just a young boy and he called all the best wrestlers, big bodybuilders, to just crush him, you know. But Krishna just came. There was a big elephant. First the elephant, Kuvalyapida, that elephant tried to kill Krishna, but he very easily killed the elephant and then took his tusk and just entered the wrestling arena. And then there, all various types of people are gathered. So when they saw Krishna, everyone saw Krishna in a different way. So to the wrestlers, he appeared like a lightning bolt, like that. You know, to the gopis, he appeared as Cupid personified. To the people of Vrindavan, he seemed to be like their own boy, you know, like that. Different analysis is given. And then another very interesting thing is given, how to the unintelligent men, there were few unintelligent men also present there, to them he seemed to be the universal form. So this is the thing, at that time the unintelligent men could perceive the universal form. So that was the unintelligent men of that time. But the intelligent scientists of today, they can't even know the moon. So this, just see the contrast. So this is the thing. So just knowing the universal form, just knowing the limits or knowing the full universal form is actually very insignificant. So that's why it said the unintelligent man could see him as in universal form. So that's not enough. Just seeing this, analyzing these material elements, seeing the universal form, that's not enough. Krishna is much, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is far, far beyond that. Universal form is a very temporary manifestation. So it's sometime manifest, sometime unmanifest, like that. At the end of Brahma's night, it's temporarily unmanifest, and then at Brahma's night and end of Brahma's day, and then end of Brahma's life, there is a full annihilation, like that. So to know this whole universal form, to know the Lord, it requires intelligence. But these speculators, they are just trying to dryly, speculate like that. So to understand that, so the main understanding is that, okay, what is the goal of this analysis? We are trying to analyze, okay, these components are there, then this whole is there, how are they related? So the main goal of doing all this there will be long list to understand earth, water, fire, this, that, working senses, knowledge, acquiring senses. The main reason to know all this is to know that, okay, we are the parts of the whole, and in the end we have to serve the whole. That's the main goal, like that. And in the same chapter, when Krishna showed Arjun his universal form in Bhagavad Gita, there are beautiful prayers, very nice prayers. So he saw the universal form, and then he didn't want to see that actually. In the end he said, oh, please come back to your original form, like that. And in two-handed form, like that. So he was not interested in seeing that form. So, and in that chapter then he has a very nice prayer. He prays to Lord Krishna that, it says like, Tasmasvamuttishta yasholabhasva jitva shatrum mungsharajam samvriddham mayaivaite netapurvam eva nimitta matram bhavasavyasanchi. So he says, Lord says to Krishna in that chapter, Lord says to Arjuna that nimitta matram bhavasavyasanchi, that you become my instrument. You just get up and fight. Don't worry about, my family, I'll kill, have sinful reactions, this, that, and I'll kill so many people, I'll be the cause of misfortune, and you want to see my universal form. I'll just leave all that, just get up and fight, because that's my order. And then he says that they are already being killed by my arrangement. You just have to take the credit. You just fight and take the credit. And very nice word he uses, savyasachi, that you are expert bowman. You are expert in archery. But you can't do anything with your archery. They are already being killed by me. So you just have to be an instrument. So that's very important to understand, that we have to be Lord's instrument. So Lord, whatever power is with us, all our skills, and even these speculators, they are analyzing, all these analytical skills also, they come from the Lord. So in the end we have to use it for the Lord. And then even Arjuna understood that, like in Bhagavatam, he says after Mahabharata war, he was trying to protect the women of Dwarka, but he was defeated because Krishna had left by then, and he was defeated by even simple men. And then he said, oh, I have the same Gandiva bow, I have the same chariot, same horses, and I'm same Arjuna, but I'm not able to fight with these just small timers, like that. So this is the proof that when Krishna is not there, Krishna was showing Arjuna was a very topmost devotee, one of the topmost devotees, and even to him Lord is showing that you don't have anything, it's my mercy, it's by my mercy that you can do something. So similarly, we have to understand that all these skills that we have to use it for the Lord. So there's no problem in analyzing and enumerating all the material elements, but we have to do it for this as a service to the Lord, like that. And another pastime of Lord Ramachandra, like how when Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravan and they were going, he took her in his airplane, and then there was an old bird, Jatayu, you know. And Jatayu knew, I can't fight with with Ravan, he's very powerful. But still, he tried, and then he was killed by Ravan. So this is the thing. If we have the skills or we don't have the skills, we just engage in the devotional service. That's the purpose of life, like that. So we have to engage in the service of Lord, like that. Now in the end, if you see the translation, the last two words, it says analytical disagreements. So these philosophers, all these philosophers have disagreements. They are analyzing and they have disagreements. So why they have disagreements is, they are not surrendering to the Lord. If you are surrendered to the Lord, there are no disagreements like that. So if you see the, in first canto, the story is given of Ashwatthama, how when he killed the sleeping sons of Pandavas and he ran, and then Arjun was chasing him to catch him and kill him. And then Krishna was driving his chariot, and then he caught Ashwatthama. And Krishna said, you kill him immediately because he has done a sinful act, very heinous act, you kill him. And then Arjun took him back to the camp, and then there was a little disagreement. So Draupadi was saying, oh, don't kill him because he is son of our guru and, you know, he's a brahmana. She was giving very nice shastric references that, okay, now I am crying because my sons are dead, but same way his mother will cry when you kill him. So all these shastric quotes she was giving. And Bhima was saying, no, kill him. And initially Krishna also spoke, no, because he has done a sinful act, he's liable to be killed. Like that. So there was a disagreement. So in the end, Arjuna did not know what to do, you know. Some are saying to kill him. Yudhishthira Maharaj were also saying don't kill him. And all are devotees. So even in between devotees, there was disagreement like that. But he just saw towards Krishna, and Krishna gave the full solution. He said, just remove, there was a jewel on his head. He said, just remove the jewel. And so Arjun just removed the jewel, and there was blood coming constantly, and he cut his hair. So that was like killing a brahmana. It is a great disrespect. And that was like killing a brahmana and also not killing him. So this is, in Krishna, everything is resolved. If you surrender in Krishna, there is no disagreement like that. So now the cause of this disagreement among mental speculators who are trying to analyze these material elements, the cause is given in today's verse. Lord is saying, by my own insurmountable energies that are motivating. So his energies are motivating these disagreements. So because if you are not sincere, Lord covers you by his illusory potency. So that's the thing. And the word given here is the last word, duratyaya. Duratyaya. It says unsurpassable. Same word is used in Bhagavad Gita. It says, Devi yesha gunmai mam maya duratyaya. So Krishna says, this my material energy, this material realm, this is my energy and it is duratyaya, you can't surpass it. But mameviya prapadyante maya metam tadanti. If you surrender to me, you can easily cross over it. Like that. So these speculators, they are speculating separate from Krishna. So Krishna covers them with this illusory potency. So and they have these all these different viewpoints like that. So if you just disagree, so basically you'll drown in this material ocean like that. This is a very nice story in that regard. It's like in previous days what used to happen, kings used to punish the miscreants like that. So they had a way, like they used to tie big rocks on the leg and just put them in the river. So they'll automatically go down. They can't do, tie the hands, everything like that. A very simple way to punish them. And then, so once, so he was little saintly, there was a king, he was little saintly king. And then there was these two mental speculators. So he had had enough with them. He said, okay, let's go to the river. And then he put the rocks, tied the rocks, and then tied their hands. And they said, oh, somehow it clicked. They said, please forgive us, like that. So then he said, okay. So then he gave them two things, one scissor and one knife, like that. And now then left them like that. So now they were in the process of going down, and these are mental speculators, and they always will disagree. So now one is saying, okay, he cut with the knife, cut the rope with the knife. The other is saying, no, you should cut it with the scissors, like that. So they are disagreeing and arguing with each other, arguing on counter, arguing like that. And slowly they are just drowning, like that. And it's just said, I heard somewhere, one is going like that, you know, without going down the water like that. So even they are drowning in the ocean of material existence, they're understanding that, oh, just by simply taking, you know, the process of devotional service, they can be free like that. So this is so simple. If you just surrender to the Lord, all the disagreements are resolved like that. So today what we discussed was why these philosophers disagree, that Lord puts his illusory energy, it's like a curtain, so they can't see the truth. But if you are sincere, you can surrender to Lord, then you can know everything, all the material elements, everything. So I would like to end there and ask if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes. You have a question? Yes.
When we're doing a service, sometimes like to improve our service, trying to speculate on different ways of how to improve it, and you might again disagree with the basic stuff. How do you avoid that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, like devotees, because we have started this process of devotional service, and we have these mishra or the mixed element, and we have these speculative skills still there, so we try to speculate. So the thing is, yeah, we may disagree with other devotees, but it shouldn't disagree with the authorities like that. If it's, you know, there is an authority and it's disagreeing with that authority, that's not good. That's what I think. So best is to ask the authority. I'm going to do this. Is it okay? So same like I was reading this 7. It's good to ask. You know, like Arjuna was there. Now he was going to catch Ashwatthama, and Ashwatthama released his Brahmastra. He didn't know what to do. His horses were tired and everything, and so he, in fear, he released his Brahmastra. It was a nuclear weapon. It could have destroyed the whole universe. It was so powerful, but he didn't know. And he didn't know to bring it back also. So now Arjuna was bewildered. He was seeing everything is about to be destroyed. He didn't know what to do. So he approached, Krishna was his chariot driver, and he approached him and offered nice prayers that, oh, what should I do now? You know, I can't find any solution. He could have speculated or something, but we should think that actually we are helpless. Even though we have some viewpoints, it should match the viewpoints of authority.
I remember a nice story about not surrendering.
Yes.
Everybody can hear the story?
Oh, you want to know? Oh.
Anyway, there was a young fellow. He was aged only 25 or so. And he was arguing with his mother. The mother said that, please eat this nice prasadam. And he said, no, today I want it. I have made a vow that even if God forces me, I'm not going to be too late. So after saying this, he was naturally stubborn and disobedient. He went out and went into the forest. He has told you about why he didn't want to surrender to his mother. He said, even God cannot make me eat today because I have taken a vow. 25 years old, very strong man. So naturally he said, nobody can force me to eat. So his mother said, all right, if you don't want to eat, it's up to you. But Krishna can still make you eat. So he went to the forest, and when it became evening, dark, he thought, but dry or something might come. So he went upon the tree and stayed there. And he said, he will start the whole night because now nobody will disturb him in the inside the tree. But it so happened that under the tree, a lot of devotees came. You know those Devi people who worship the Devi, the Mother Kali? So they brought out prasadam to them. And they saw this boy, and they called him after puja and everything, you know, arati and everything. The food, lot of food was there. So they ate a lot of things, and left a lot of remnants there under the tree. And it was nice food, you know, like rasgulla and kachori and samosa and burger, 90. But he couldn't eat. He said, no, I have taken a vow today. No matter what, I am not going to eat. And then he just stayed in the tree. He didn't want to even come down. Because he thought, if he comes down, he might eat something, you know. The food might tempt him to take, he might take something. So he didn't come. Now, after a few hours, about 12 o'clock in midnight, dacoits came under the tree. And now the dacoits saw a lot of food lying there, very nice food. So they thought, we should eat this food because it is such nice food. Somebody has left for us, so we must eat. So they were about to eat the food. But one of the dacoits said, no, wait. You should not eat this food because it will be poisoned in that food. People have left this food because it's poisoned, therefore they are not eating. So they have left it some purpose to kill us, all the dacoits. So they said, no, we are not eating. Then one person said, why not we try to find out who has left this food? So they saw all wrong everywhere, and they couldn't find anybody. But then they put the torch, and they saw that young man. So you are the person who has put the poison in the food. Come down straight away. So they brought him down, four by four, and they whipped him. You have to eat this food because you have put poison in this. If you won't eat, we will kill you. So then he had no choice, so he had to eat the food. And then, so the story is that if Krishna wants you to eat, then even if you take a vow, it doesn't matter. He will eat it. Thank you. So I heard this story, I thought, if we don't surrender, then there is no issue. If we don't surrender to Krishna, we have to come and eat and eat.
Yeah.
You know, my mother, when I was a small one, 5 year old, she used to tell me, Kunda pi janani kshatriya shayanam, I murare, I murare. I didn't understand that. Then I came initiated so far. So what she was saying that, if you don't remember Krishna, if you are not Krishna conscious, then you have to take birth in one of the wombs, either man or animal's womb, because you have your previous karma will take you to another body.
Okay.
So this was a very important thing, that if we don't surrender to Krishna, we have to take birth in another womb. So if you get up from what is saying, that give me this life and you can come to the spiritual world and self world. Hare Krishna.
Any other quick question?
Any questions or comments on this?
Thank you.
anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Regarding empowerment, whatever service we are given from authority, does it happen that Krishna doesn't empower to do that thing?
He doesn't empower. It doesn't matter. If it's given, you just do it as a matter of duty. And success in the service is also not important. Important is putting full heart in the service. It doesn't matter if you succeed or not. So you do your best and then see what happens. Then the authorities will see, oh, this person is not suitable for this. He's trying his best. So then they will give suitable service like that. And of course, empowerment, Krishna gives empowerment for everything, walking, talking, seeing. So we can't do anything without Krishna's empowerment. So, and same the, like the story we heard of Jatayu, he didn't consider the result of doing his service of fighting Ravan. He just fought. He knew he was going to lose, still he fought. So same, in our service, it doesn't matter if we are going to lose, we have to do it. Like that. Is that answer, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
One last before, then he went to the house. And he was coming back up. What can he do? He is a monk. So he told him what's going to
do. After getting beaten up, he ate. He should have eaten simply, you know, at home. Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande. Thank you.